The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, today is a special day. You are joining We the People Radio with your hosts Elizabeth Woodward, Aaron Ryan, Bob Martin, and our very special always anniversary guest Cameron Gamble
Cameron Gamble
from Project Taken. And today is our second anniversary. Happy anniversary, Aaron.
Bob.
Happy anniversary, ladies.
Yeah, we've got a new blended family here.
Yeah. Yeah, 2 years. That flew by.
Elizabeth, and Bob. Man, we must be from California.
Or Arkansas.
We must live in California.
Yeah. Blended dysfunctional family.
You might want to swivel that around so we can hear you.
You were talking about that kind of blended family. Okay. I was just thinking about cousins that intermarry.
Wow.
We were talking
all went somewhere bad. And Cameron just came from...
Kansas.
Well, Missouri.
Oh, Missouri. Okay.
See?
They're not sure out there. It's either Kansas or Missouri, but we were close.
It is always confusing because you have Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh.
We were on the Missouri side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's where my mom hails from.
Hmm.
And an amazing coincidence, he just came from Dutch Brothers where they serve blended drinks.
But you can't go through the drive-thru because...
People get stuck when they drive an Expedition with a 16-foot trailer.
And they're blonde.
And they're blonde and they're trying to go through the drive-thru.
Jeez.
That must have been hilarious to watch that woman try to back out.
How far did she get? Did she get to the first bend? Did she get past the window?
She got to the... No, she didn't get to the window.
She's all, I want coffee.
After all of that trouble, she never even got her coffee.
Totally.
No, she got out. She made sure she got her coffee.
Oh, jeez.
That's funny. So was it just chaos? Cars everywhere?
No, I was the only one who was patient enough to wait. Everyone just drove off.
Oh, she drove off business.
Business killer.
I hope they charged her triple for her cup of coffee. How funny.
That is pretty funny. Yeah, what goes through your mind? You look at this way, curvy thing, you're all, I can do it. I'm in a Prius. Oh, it's not a Prius.
Oh, shoot, I want that. Oh, my other car is a Prius.
My other car is a Prius. She needs a bumper sticker.
Oh, man. Okay, so...
She's like, shut up, you jackals. I'm going to bring my trailer over there and whoop you.
Don't tell her where we're at. So, we've got... Yeah, anniversary show, and, you know, we're kind of at the height of the most critical time in this juncture of our lives.
The most important election in our lifetime.
Yeah, that's what they're saying anyway.
We've got to tell everybody that because everybody else is telling everybody that.
Yeah. So.
We don't want to be behind.
So Aaron and
this time we really mean it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is for real.
So we're spicing it up this time, and you can always tune in here to get really critical information.
Or just...
In a super funny way.
Critical.
Or just critical, or just funny. Just funny.
Okay, so since the debate... Oh, so we should tell people who Cameron is, just in case they didn't tune in last year at this time.
Yeah, Cameron is with Project Taken, and I'll let him tell his history, but...
Tell us as much as
you want. But Aaron and I went through an all-day training on how to survive, well, you know, an Aurora-style situation. In fact, maybe that's when I called you, Cameron. It was right after that happened, and I thought, Cameron needs to come on, because that was an identical situation. I mean, we were literally sitting in a theater in your class. So anyway, tell everybody who you are.
Yeah, I'm Cameron Gamble. I'm 32 years old, father of four, soon to be five.
That's why you don't hire moving men.
No way! You got another one on the way.
Yeah, it seems like every time we take a road trip.
Oh, that's what you guys did. Really? We got a giant...
We're going to affectionately call this Overshare Sunday.
Okay, two tents, one for the kids, one for you and your wife.
blessed with soon to be five children. Aww. And September 11th, that's what changed my life in terms of direction of career. I was going to try to fly as a pilot. That usually that's what they do, right?
Yeah.
For pilots, okay.
Yeah, they hope. That's the idea anyway.
With the airlines, and September 11th happens, I joined the military and quickly became involved with this program called SEER, Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape. And after my career with the Air Force, became a contractor with the military, training Army aviators, Rangers, Special Forces, Worked with the Secret Service a bit, and then the Marine Special Operators, and lastly the Navy SEALs, and all the while trying to create a program for civilians, which is now Project Taken, and it's a preventative, how do I not become a victim of kidnapping, and if I am, how do I get out of the victim mentality, the mindset, and become a survivor of the situation, and ultimately survive and escape. And now where we are with it, though, is we've moved since December from training just the general public to more specifically training missionaries and not just taking like an active role in the classroom, but going and doing in-country and training missionaries there, or going out to Kansas and training folks there in the ministry.
Okay. Okay. So when we last talked to you, so I guess it's been a year, your Project Taken
project
was up and running really well, and like you had mentioned, you had gone from focusing on everyday folks to really working with missionaries, and there's a lot of young people that are going overseas these days on missionary trips. I have a neighbor that just left for somewhere in Asia, and there's more that happens there than you realize, and my niece is just coming back in probably 30 days from Ethiopia, where she's been in the Peace Corps for 2.5 years. And I do know that, for instance, for her, when she is in Ethiopia with the Peace Corps, their government not so concerned about the Peace Corps volunteers, and our government not so concerned with the Peace Corps volunteers.
Well, we don't care about our ambassadors.
Yeah. So in many ways,
the bus to move for the
Peace Corps. You cross your fingers and hope that nothing happens, because at the end of the day, neither government's really going to step in and protect you.
Right.
And that's where you come in.
Right. That's where we try to come in as much as we can. But, yeah, it's, you know, we have a lot of young people, like you said, taking missionary trips or just trips for college or whatever it is to go overseas. And a lot of them are going into it completely blind, not knowing what's the biggest threat out there. And one of the things we've really become involved with over this last year is the anti-human trafficking movement.
I see that more and more in the news.
And Proposition 35
is coming
up.
I was just going to say, we've got a proposition on the ballot about that.
Yeah, and do you guys know anything about it? Do you care if I tell the listeners?
Oh, please do.
Okay. Yeah, Proposition.
No, don't tell them. Make them guess. Their ballots will be out Monday. They can just figure it out then.
Yeah, Proposition 35 is an anti-human trafficking movement. It's to put more, I guess, those who get caught for trafficking in California, put them in prison for longer periods of time. It's to make them register as sex offenders, which I don't know why they're not to begin with. It's also to fund a lot of our law enforcement training and make it mandatory that they know how to deal with human trafficking. Because, you know, I-5 is the number one corridor in the United States for human trafficking.
Jeez.
The whole United States? Yeah. You're kidding.
No. Number one.
Well, it goes all the way from Canada
okay, based
to Mexico.
On, okay, give us a... I mean, what does that mean? I know percentages. Are we like the 100% and then somebody else is 99, or are we like 100 and the next guy's 20?
Yeah, they're just basing it off of numbers and how many they catch coming through the I-5 corridor based on the other interstates throughout the U.S.
So are we just better catchers, or do we have more?
No, we have more. We have more because we're going from Mexico to Canada.
That's kind of what I figured.
Yeah. And, you know, as we slept last night, and where these girls are being transferred a lot is at the ports, so Portland, and also at the truck stops.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Ew.
Now, I get on Facebook every once in a while, and I'm noticing, and maybe it's just coincidence, but I'm noticing more and more posters being put out there of people that are missing.
Mm.
Are the numbers the same as they've always been, or does it, is it just me that thinks that, I mean, Facebook is a great way to share information, so maybe it's always been there, and this is our opportunity to share it and get it out.
Yeah, I think the numbers kind of ebb and flow. And they really haven't changed since last year in terms of 1.2 Americans are kidnapped every 10 minutes. But we're getting smarter in terms of awareness and putting it out on the social media. That's what you're seeing.
No, with this human trafficking, is there an age range?
Yeah, I was just going to ask. Old, young?
Yeah, mostly they top it off around 35 to about 8 years old, anywhere in between.
Male, female?
Both. Okay. Mostly female, but both, yeah.
Okay.
Probably I'd say 30 to 40% are male.
Okay.
So are they, like, snatched off the street, or are these, I mean, is where do they find these people? Just anywhere?
Everything from Facebook or I say Facebook. I trained a young girl who was from the local area this year, and she was she had met a guy online through one of those Facebook chat rooms or whatever it is. And she was 17, went down to Disneyland for her high school band trip, and this guy shows up at the hotel and realizes he's not 17, he's 30-plus, and he's from Iraq or Afghanistan, some other Middle Eastern country. She flips out.
So he's not like a guy from high school.
And, no. he met her down there because he knew where she was going because of Facebook.
So she advertised it on Facebook.
Well, she tried. Yeah, she wanted to connect with him there.
Oh, she did it on purpose.
Right.
Wow.
Right. And now he's from Boston is where he resides, apparently. So this guy came from Boston to grab this girl.
Wow.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So
he already knew what she looked like, probably.
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, he knew her entire life because of Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what we're seeing is everything from a situation like that to parents actually selling their children into this slavery, sex slavery.
That's right. You were talking about that before.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to tell us about the Back East thing, or we probably better take a swift break and do that one, huh?
Sure.
That's more than a 30-second story. Bob, you're awfully quiet over there. You're scurrying around.
I'm just letting Cameron tell the story.
Yeah, sure.
I'm hoping Bob has some surprise anniversary music.
Yeah, there you go. And not happy anniversary. That would be weird. That's scary and creepy.
All right. This is not Appalachia.
You are listening to We the People Radio. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us and chat live with us. It's KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Running, the home of Free Fire Media.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Who are you?
Can you say hell on the radio?
That was the cleaned up version of this song.
Oh.
I know you can say crap, because Bob told me so. Welcome back to We the People Radio, where everything is a surprise.
There's another version of that song that contains the F-bomb. They changed this one.
I'm pretty sure we can't say the F-bomb.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
So we are with Cameron Gamble of Project Taken. Cameron seems to join us every time we have an anniversary show. He has been off the grid. He's going to tell us a little bit more about that. But if you want to find out more about Cameron and Project Taken, go to wethepeopleradio.us. On that webpage, you will find out everything you need to know about Cameron, the links to his website, and every show we've ever done archived.
And an extensive Facebook page, right, Cameron?
Yes. You can look at every aspect of my life.
You're all...
So, Cameron, where have you been?
Wow, that's a great question.
Yeah, well, we were calling and writing and texting, by the way.
I never heard back from you. I thought, oh, my gosh.
So it worked.
Yes. Yeah, it did. It did. It worked really well.
We figured you were in the witness protection program or something.
Kind of. No, we, like I said, we really got involved with the human trafficking side of things. Mm-hmm. And it was twofold. It's training the people who are going into it that are really putting their neck out on the line to go overseas and or in the United States and rescue these girls from mafia, from traffickers, from gangs. And so to train and equip them, but also get on the side of it in terms of actually doing the rescuing as well and trying to get our, I don't want to say hands dirty, but get involved with it more. And so we, in April of this year, went out to Kansas City and trained a ministry called Exodus Cry. And their goal is to end slavery, modern-day slavery, which is human trafficking.
And that's a lot bigger than we realize.
27 million slaves in captivity today.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Traffickers make $81,000 a minute.
What?
Oh, yeah, it's incredible. So the way it was...
He's $1,000 a minute?
I mean, so the way it was described by a trafficker was, he says, you know, and this guy's real, he's tied in with the mafia. He goes, before, we could take a little bag of cocaine and sell it one time on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Now we can take an 8-year-old girl and sell her 30 to 40 times a day.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. That's the average.
Now, you got to feel proud about that one.
Right.
What the heck?
Thankfully, though, this guy is completely converted to Christianity.
Yeah, good.
As a result of his past.
He could pretty much almost have converted to anything, actually.
Yeah,
and it would have been better.
Been okay.
It would have been better. So, is there a particular race that human traffickers target?
No, because... Okay. You know, you go over to Cambodia, Vietnam, those areas, the majority of men that you see are Western. I mean, they're from the United States or they're from Australia. But they don't really discriminate on who the client is. Or actually, they're the client, but who the child or the woman is. I'm sure they have their preferences, but...
Okay.
It doesn't discriminate.
Okay.
So, anyways, we got really involved with this Exodus Cry ministry in Kansas City, went out and trained them all, and then it was actually kind of neat because their ministry, immediately following my training, needed some protection. So I was able to call one of my Navy SEALs, and he went in and actually protected this girl that they had rescued from sex trafficking. And that was kind of neat for Project Taken because that was the first time we were able to see something in addition to just the classroom setting type training. And I went to Honduras in February and helped out with some folks down there, but this was being able to call my guys in and have them go do what they do. And shortly after that, about 3 weeks after he was out there, we got a phone call, and they said, listen, we've run into a situation with the same girl. We've rescued her. She's been in our program, our restoration program, for nearly a year. And her father is tied to the mafia. And now there's a strike team as a result of this man going to prison for the rest of his life because this girl has testified against him. There's a strike team, and they're out to kill us, the ministry folks, our family, our wives, our children.
Ooh.
And we need your help. So that was a really, really big decision to make because I knew that this was an open-ended invitation. I didn't know how long it would take to go out there and help them with this threat. And I wasn't willing to sacrifice leaving my family here for Project Taken. And that's something that since December we've really made a focus that my family's involved with it. And so we prayed about it and talked about it and we said, okay, we're going to go. We're going to go help them out. These are our friends out there and they need our help desperately. So within a couple weeks, we were on the road.
And this is when you went off the grid?
We decided, based on the level of threat that was out there, we needed to live completely off the grid and let only a very small amount of people know where we were going and what we were mm-hmm. doing.
So you were gone for how long?
We were gone for just a little over a month.
Okay.
Mission. I just want to interject. We're not in the inner circle then?
No, because apparently, I want you to know my feelings are hurt, Cameron. Aren't you hurt, Aaron?
We brought him in here to bludgeon him.
Aaron and Bob, aren't you hurt?
Take that, smart boy.
No, you know, it's one of those things.
We don't even know this guy.
Yeah, where'd you come from?
Yeah, right?
Hey, did you come in off the street?
He did.
I brought you the curb right up front.
Yeah.
I brought you coffee.
He brought coffee,
yeah,
though.
He did.
That was me saying, I'm sorry I didn't call you. You're not my inner circle.
Oh, yeah. I have visions of Meet the Parents.
Yeah. No kidding.
What was your question?
I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea.
Information was Elizabeth looking for.
We get asked that a lot.
Yeah. What's your point? So you were gone for a little over a month. You took your family with you. You were in Kansas City, Missouri area. How much can you tell us about what you did and where you lived? And
well, yeah, now that we're on this side of it, I can tell you most of it.
Okay, please.
Yeah, so we went out there, and the FBI was involved with this girl because of the threat. They deemed it a credible threat against the ministry. And just to show you the level of care that they have for the girls they rescue, even the founder didn't know of her whereabouts or what she looked like or anything like that. So only a few people in the ministry take care of that side of things. And you know, it's for threats just like this. If someone comes to his door and says, where's this girl? He says, I really don't know. So going out there, the FBI was involved. They said, listen, this is a credible threat. When the strike team, when the whole, there's a strike team out to kill everyone, the ministry, they didn't know what to do. So they had 10 people going 15 different directions. Some went to Florida, some went to California, some went to New York. They went everywhere. And they spent a lot of money getting this girl protected. They changed her identity. They ditched her car. They ditched her cell phone. And folks in the ministry did the same thing, and not to that extreme, but they were considering changing their identity.
How old was the girl?
She was, well, she's been trafficked her whole life since she was a young little girl.
Jeez.
But when I went out there right now, she's, I want to say 21,
okay.
22.
Okay.
She's very young.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I sat down with everyone that was involved, and I said, please give me everyone's version of what has taken place here. This is day one out there, and so I hear everyone's story, and I said, you know, I don't think it's a good idea, because the FBI was going to come in and quote-unquote, interrogate this girl.
Mm.
And I said, I don't think this is a good idea. And I go, if you guys don't mind, let me speak to her first. And so we arranged a meeting in a park, and I met her and the psychologist who's been doing her restoration for the last year, sat down with her, and I got her whole story from beginning to end. And it was about 2.5 hours. And right after that, I went to the founder and the COO of the ministry, and I said, you guys, we have a problem. They said, what's that? And I said, story's not true.
No way.
After all that.
After all that. And they said, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, the problem is, no doubt this girl has been traumatized. I have no doubt that there's been involvement in trafficking somehow, some way. But this mafia tie, the dad in prison, everything that I know in terms of my experience running interrogations or interviews, she's lying.
Oh, and there were air quotes that went with that, just so you know.
Well, that's the correct thing to call it is an interview. But, you know, when I say interview, I mean eliciting information without coercive measures.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And no
so
water.
So
no
water. Waterboarding.
Didn't have to waterboard her.
That's the end of our coercive measures information.
And
you might have to teach us some other stuff. He's all, I don't think so.
No. Well, Mary Poppins said, "Just a spoonful of sugar."
Yeah. There you go.
Makes the medicine go down. No. I'm sorry. No. This girl. There was. It wasn't necessary to do anything extensive on her in terms of interrogation. She just needed someone to hear her out. And so as I heard her out, listened to the whole story, and had the backdrop on the story, you know, from the beginning, I went to the ministry and said, sorry, guys, something's not working. And they said, we really hope you're wrong, because we spent $50,000 moving people around. And so the next several weeks, my goal was to do the background information on this girl, find out the real story, and then we would confront her. And that's exactly what we did.
And what did you find out? And how much of her story wasn't true?
What had been made up was there was no mafia.
Okay.
Dad was not in prison.
Okay.
Yikes.
Did Dad traffic his daughter?
Dad did traffic his daughter.
Okay.
But Dad was not in prison. Dad was...
Dad should be in prison.
He should be.
And Dad was a dirtball.
He is still remains to be a dirtball.
Okay.
Yeah. And but I actually spoke to Dad on the phone.
Ooh.
Right. And I,
what do you say to a guy who traffics his own daughter?
Well, I called him I told him my name was Armando Cordova from Gonzales Cruise Lines, and he'd want a cruise, and so he was really willing to talk to me.
And he bought that?
He did.
Oh,
did
wow.
you put on an accent?
I did, yes.
Can you do it?
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay, we'll look away. Do it while we're not looking.
No, you don't want that archived for...
Yeah, because
he may need to use it again.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Yeah, he's got to put that in his bag of tricks.
Yeah, like somebody's going to go, oh, I think I heard him on We the People
Radio.
Because I think human traffickers listen to our show all the time to pick up hot tips.
Yeah.
No, you know, it was simple. It was remove myself from the situation as much as possible, create an alias, get this guy to talk, just to confirm that he is alive and well and not in prison.
Okay.
Did he want to go on a cruise?
Yes, he did.
He was excited about it.
No, he just, I basically asked him to confirm his information, name, all of that stuff, and he was willing to do that over the phone.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, buddy, just for future reference, that's not a very smart idea. Do you have a Facebook account?
I wasn't willing to help him out.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
So I got all the background information and built this investigation, and then we went a few weeks afterwards and confronted the girl on the situation.
And why did she fabricate?
Yeah. She fabricated because the first time her dad raped her, she was 8 years old, And she told mom, and parents were divorced. Mm-hmm. And so mom brought her to the police, and the police did not believe her.
Oh, wow.
So the police said, you need counseling. And they shoved her into counseling. And she said, well, if no one's going to believe me, I might as well just make stuff up. And that's the beginning of the storytelling.
Okay.
And she loved, now that she's in her early 20s, she loves the attention.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, the drama. Can you blame her?
Well, and I'll tell you this. Dad recruited her. Used her as a recruiter for other girls.
Wow.
Dad sold her to his friends, sold her on the streets. So this girl was...
This is in Honduras.
No, this is in New York.
Oh, this is in New York.
In the United States.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Honduras was a completely different trip.
Okay. That's right. I got my little wires crossed there.
Yeah, and, you know, I know we're getting ready to
They thought she didn't cross the big wires, huh?
Is Dad on his way to prison now?
No.
Statute of limitations?
He's still waiting for his cruise tickets.
No, she's... after the breakup, I'll be able to share with you where this girl is now.
Okay.
And her thought process towards Dad.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that must be interesting. Yeah. Gonna forgive him, is she?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's a little bit like... it's like the wife abuser deal.
Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
For sure. It's Dad. I mean, it's her father.
Yeah. And first and foremost. Oh, gosh.
Wow.
So, so you're focusing primarily then on missionary and human trafficking.
That's been the focus because since December, we've trained about 1,700 missionaries.
Nice.
And I think the reason for that is because of the places they're going, the things that they're doing.
Okay.
There's a lot more a need for Project Taken in their lifestyle in their area.
And I don't think it's any big secret to anyone who has the slightest bit of awareness that the world is very unsafe right now.
It is.
Things are not good out there.
Hmm. And on that note, we're going to thank our advertisers.
Happy to oblige.
Bizarre segue.
And make it all happy for you.
You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com. You can't escape my private eyes. They're watching you. They see your every move. Private eyes. They're watching you.
Says Cameron.
They're watching you.
Your Facebook page.
Watching you.
And we are back. We the People Radio. Jump on the chat room. We're streaming live. WeThePeopleRadio.us. Follow along. Learn about Cameron Gamble. Read about his bio and his history. And go to ProjectTaken.com. And you can do all of that while you're sitting there with your cup of coffee and listening to us.
And everybody's like, no, I can't. I'm too tired now.
Sure you can.
You know what? If you go to the chat room, you can say whatever you want because everybody's sleepy this morning and they're not writing in there. So you could just go take it over.
It'd
be a good day to break into the chat room.
Jump in and have fun. What else do you do on a Sunday morning?
Exactly.
On your way to church, before, after, during. Okay, Cameron, so you were going to tell us a little bit about this young lady and how she wrapped it up. Had a little change of heart toward Dad, did she?
Well, towards everything.
Okay.
You know, one of the things that the Exodus Cry Ministry is really good at is restoration. That's their end goal, is to take these girls from whatever state they're in, a cell in Guadalajara, being raped 30 times a day, to being able to live in society and have a normal life. So restoration is a huge part of what they do. And so the goal behind getting all this information on this girl and her lie wasn't to confront her and say, ha, we caught you, you're a piece of garbage. She already thinks that that's what she is.
Right.
We wanted to show her, you're a gem, you're a treasure.
Right.
So the goal was confront her but have the ability for her, and it's a Christian program, obviously. I keep saying ministry, but it's based on, it's based on a relationship with Christ, and I don't know if I can say that online or on the radio, but I'm going to.
Well, you can, because we say other things.
Why can't you say that?
Okay, good. So the whole point was...
We have not banned religion and talk from the airwaves yet.
Yeah, do it while you can.
Yeah, right. Confront her with her lies, but also confront her with Christ. Confront her with a way out. Confront her with forgiveness. And not just for the people involved, the dad, the other family that was involved, but with her mm-hmm. and what she's done towards the ministry. And so we did that, and she did. She said, "You're right. I've been lying." And it was almost as if this massive burden was lifted off her, like, "Oh, I don't have to lie anymore. I can just be honest with people."
Because by lying, that's the only way she could get anybody to believe her.
Right. And now, and what she kept saying was, "You guys don't hate me? How are you even sitting in the same room as me?" And so that love of Christ came over in that room, and she was able to now begin true restoration. So it was a really amazing process. So you can look at it a couple different ways. From a worldly perspective, you can say, wow, Cameron and his family sold a bunch of household belongings, gave up the farm, drove 2,500 miles with four kids in a car in 2 days, completely uprooted their life, and the whole thing was a lie. Or you can say, what's the cost of one life? Mm-hmm. And to us, we set out saying, it doesn't matter what the cost is, we're going to do it.
And after that, if she goes on to minister others, you know, you've got that snowball effect.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can. Hey, excuse me, could you go talk to...
Yeah.
Because now you kind of have an insider.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. A girl who's been through it, not just through the trafficking part, but through the restoration part, which is really, really crucial. And so it was a very successful trip.
Right.
Very hard trip on the family. It really was.
Yeah.
Really was. But very successful. And we're so glad to be home.
I'll bet you are. So she was from New York, but you were in Missouri when all this was taking place.
Yes.
Was that the central location, the meeting point? Was she still living in New York?
No, she was going to school in Kansas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And through, she was one of those girls who was trying to hide what had happened to her. She kind of fled from home, trying to hide, you know, that I was a victim of trafficking. And then she heard about the ministry and went, "I got to go see this." Mm-hmm. And then got involved and went, "Wow, there's an actual chance that I can get over all of this."
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now, you said that she's forgiven her father.
Yes.
So what is their relationship like today? Is he still a scumbag?
He still remains to be someone who desperately needs... he needs a new heart change.
And
for
does she recognize that?
She does.
Okay.
Yeah, she knows what he is. I mean, he is he's not high up in a gang, but he is involved with a gang. That was evident. And but he's
okay.
a bad dude.
Okay.
And are there other kids?
Besides her,
mm-hmm.
she has siblings, yes. But she was mm-hmm. the only one trafficked.
Really?
Yeah. Dad has 9 kids, I do believe, but from different wives all over the place.
Mm.
Wow.
So today, what is she doing, and does she stay in contact with her father, or has she just forgiven him and moved on?
She is, when we left there, she had forgiven and was moving on and was still completely vetted in the restoration program.
Okay.
And it will take time. And
sure.
This is not an overnight thing. This is going to take a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we left, she was at the place of, "Yeah, I've completely forgiven him. I don't need to have a relationship with him anymore."
Oh, okay.
But I've forgiven him.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was hoping
pen pals
for.
Sounds
like she's,
the
maybe she's forgiven him more from a Christian standpoint than as opposed to a family or a Stockholm syndrome type situation.
Yeah, and that's what we were seeing in the beginning was the Stockholm syndrome mm-hmm. with her. And her, what she was quickly doing was identifying other people as dad and throwing her dependency upon them versus dad. And so, yeah, from a Christian perspective, she is forgiven, but has grown tremendously in terms of where she's come
from. So what do we think her future looks like?
Well, she just graduated college.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And her future really is, it's critical that she stays where she is and
mm-hmm.
stays in that program.
Mm-hmm.
But her, like you said, her future could definitely be helping girls.
Yeah.
Great. Become restored.
Okay. So, that's what you've been up to.
Yes.
How many? Okay, I want to know, just kind of on that topic, how many of the people who traffic kids are their parents? Because you gave me a... kind of a big number at one point on the phone, I think it was.
It is.
I was shocked.
Yeah, it's really disgusting to think about the parents that sell their kids into trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, we don't have numbers because we don't even have a grasp on what trafficking is. I mean, Proposition 35, it says mandatory training for human trafficking for all law enforcement. Well, that means they're not doing it right now.
Yeah.
Because we don't really have a pulse on it yet.
But this was the California legislature that made the bill, so we have to kind of always suspend judgment there.
True.
Law enforcement may be doing this, and the legislature doesn't know about it. Shocking.
I tell you, the Highway Patrol here is. Mm-hmm. They've asked me to come and work with them a little bit on training them with human trafficking. But they're seeing it. They've seen it for years. They identify it. They know what it is. But they don't necessarily know how to deal with it on a massive scale.
Sure.
But in terms of parents selling their children, especially in the bigger cities where poverty is on a massive scale.
I was just going to ask you, do you anticipate more of this as economic times get tough?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's just an economic factor.
Right. If you go over to Asia, that's what it's based on. It's based on that and culture. And when a daughter is born into a family that lives out on the streets, they consider it a blessing because now you can sell the daughter and make money off of her. Dad doesn't have to work. Mom doesn't have to work. Just sell the daughter.
Wow.
And so, do the kids come home at night? I mean, when I think of, they're selling their kid, I'm thinking of like selling a car. You know, you transfer registration and you don't drive it anymore.
Right.
Do these kids just disappear?
Well, you know,
and if so, how do these people explain where their kids went?
Yeah.
College at 8?
Right. The ministry that we were a part of, Exodus Cry, they did a documentary. They went to 4 continents in 4 months and filmed girls from abduction or being sold into slavery all the way through either death or being restored. And through that process, when they got to Asia, they went, something's different down here. What is this? Why are the parents selling their daughters? And they saw this daughter that was trafficked. She goes to visit the mom who was in prison. And the mom is just remorseful and she's tearful and she loves her daughter so much, but yet she sold her. And they asked, well, what's this all about? And they said, well, if the parents sell the girl locally, they love her. If they don't sell her locally, they don't love her. Mm-hmm. She's just gone.
Wow.
And that's their mentality.
Wow.
So they're going to sell her. It's just a matter of whether it's local or long distance?
Yeah, and these girls, they consider it a privilege to be sold into slavery. They have no idea what they're getting themselves into. No idea.
Mm,
yeah. Nice. And when I say sold, I mean grade school. Our children, 8, 9, 5, 6, it doesn't matter. Those ages are considering it a privilege to be able to be sold to a...
Mm-hmm. Well, like you said, it's cultural.
Yeah, it is. It is. And then they get into it and they either die... after they're beaten to nearly to death, they call it the breaking in process to get them completely dependent upon their captor, or ultimately they'll die. I mean, the majority of them will die.
I was going to ask you how many of them do.
Jeez, yeah. Louise.
So the largest, and we've got just a minute here before we go to our next break. But what is the largest organization nationwide that's fighting this?
The largest organization. I will tell you, I don't know the largest organization.
It's Cameron's family.
Yeah.
Getting larger every day.
We're just mustard seeds.
But the largest faction of our society would be the Christian groups that are going in
Definitely.
And fighting this.
Yeah, and the ones making the biggest wake right now are the Exodus Cry Ministry because of their documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they've won several awards.
What's it called? So can people see it online?
Yes,
I
apologize. If they go to exoduscry.com, the documentary is called Nefarious Merchant of Souls.
Oh,
and I've actually heard of that.
Yeah, it came to Reading. It came to the Cascade Theater last
right.
year. Yeah, and that's how I got involved with these guys, was going to the Cascade Theater.
I remember that.
Yes.
I remember you talking about that.
I do, too.
Yeah, that's what has catapulted this whole thing with us.
Okay.
So exoduscry.com. And it's Nefarious Merchant of Souls.
And so all of your military skills have just transcended over so many areas, and they're plugging in really well for you.
It's hard to put Project Taken in a box and say it's just for kidnap and ransom or prevention. It's we're having the privilege of being able to do a lot of things for a lot of different people, a lot of different types of ministries and just families, and
nice.
Jeez, that's cool. Okay, swift break, otherwise we will have all the breaks all at the same time. So we're here with Cameron Gamble from Project Taken. You're listening to We the People Radio on KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Knocking at my door. Go away. Don't come out here no more. Can't you see that it's late?
If you hang outside, don't come in. I'll only run and hide. Who can it be now? Who can it be now?
Join the conversation in our chat room. KCNR1460.com.
Though you may forget me, you're still on my mind. Look over your shoulder, I'm walking behind.
Just in case you think that you turned into another station, that is the first stalker song of all time from the 1950s. Who was that, Bob?
It was Frank Sinatra.
Okay.
Frank, the original theme song of the Stalkers.
Wow. So we just got into a discussion about what was the first Stalkers song.
Bob's like, I know that.
Of course he does.
We think in the 80s it was Jesse's Girl. That was what Cameron.
Yeah, that's true. That's what tripped the trigger on the whole thing.
Okay, so before we wrap up our first hour.
Yes.
We talked a little bit about how you and I had gone through one of Cameron's full-day workshops on what to do if you're in a situation where people burst in with guns and try to take over and what to do and how to handle it. And when the situation in Aurora, Colorado came up not too long ago, I mean, I totally flashed on you. And that's when I tried to track you down because that was...
Let me clarify that. She didn't flash him. She flashed on him.
I flashed on him. I thought, Cameron, we need to talk to Cameron.
Just in case there's any confusion.
And the thing that was kind of sad about that whole situation was
I'm going to say that soundbite.
Thank you.
Yeah, the first part of the part where I clarify.
I always give things that people can blackmail me with later.
I'm just going to hit my head on the microphone to change the subject.
That's why Elizabeth does that.
There's no getting out alive.
She hasn't yet. That's why I
thought I'd do it. There's no other way to change the subject than that. So, that was a no concealed carry zone. And it wasn't a state law, but it was a policy by the theater. So, talk about Aurora, Colorado, and I'm thinking back to the workshops that you've given before, and I'm assuming you'll give them again. Mm-hmm. And what are we looking at here? I mean, what's our future look like, and how many people are starting to get on board with the idea that they need to be proactive in protecting themselves?
Well, you know, I think the people who are getting on board, you're always going to have a situation like that and have someone who finally has been stewing with the idea of getting a concealed carry and go, okay, it's time. Especially when it's local and you feel the effect of what happened in Aurora. And so, I mean, all your listeners, I know they all carry. They have ankle holsters. They have...
Bra holsters.
Yeah, right.
Hip holsters.
Special purses.
Yeah, so we're preaching to the choir here on I think, you know, there's a push for concealed carry. It's one of those things that it doesn't matter where you are, Aurora or Iraq. If someone walks into a room, there's three questions you ask.
Who are they? Mm-hmm. What do they want? Mm-hmm. And how far will they go to get it?
That's incredible. How long ago was that? Like 9 months ago?
That was like a year ago.
Yeah. So it's stuck. So those three questions, who are they?
Yeah, every now and then that pops into my head. I'm like, do I still remember the three things?
Yeah.
Who are they? What do they want? How far will they go
to get
it?
Now, if anybody in that theater had been carrying a gun, do you think that they could have successfully fought back?
Yes, it's easier to fight back with a gun than without a gun.
Yeah,
when
of course.
Someone's shooting at you, especially with... I mean, This guy was completely set up for the situation. Mm-hmm. He had several weapons. He had Kevlar on. So even if you have a gun and you shoot once, that can deter a situation like mm-hmm. that and prevent multiple killings.
And he had himself completely covered so that if anybody did shoot him, he was safe.
Yeah, but you know what? It's funny because we were talking about that. But even if you're wearing Kevlar, you get hit with a bullet.
It's going to knock you down and hurt.
I mean, and you're not going to expect that.
Right.
So that's got to at least buy people a little bit of time.
I read something somewhere where if you had a small flashlight with a really bright beam, and that's all you had, and you could shine the flashlight in his eyes, you could at least get him off track long enough to do something.
Yeah, especially in a theater full of people. And the theater was full of people because it was the premiere of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And, anything you can do to get the person... So, again, when you are assessing who are they, what do they want, and how far will they go to get it, you're looking for vulnerabilities.
Right.
So as soon as you find a vulnerability in this person, that's when you act upon it. It's a chink in their armor, and you go for it. So if it's a flashlight in the eyes, and people are thinking clearly and know how to handle a situation like that, someone shines a flashlight, the other person can tackle them.
So this is where your training comes in, because it's basically, I mean, you can't avoid these situations, but what you can do is learn to react quickly with more awareness.
Correct.
And to anticipate.
Right, and to get out of the victim mentality. That's the big thing my training does is it prevents you from going, oh, I'm helpless in this situation, I might as well fall over. It gets you out of that mindset, and you start proactively thinking about assessing this person properly so you can look for, again, those vulnerabilities.
Well, the way you do repetitive, you know, the way athletes become good athletes is you develop muscle memory.
Exactly.
You do something over and over and over until you have good muscle memory. So this is like good mental memory.
Yes.
You know, you create a mindset, but you have to do it like you would a sport.
Right.
Like anything else. You can't just read a book. That's why in your training you act everything out.
Right.
People actually have to do it. Because how many people think, oh, yeah, I'm great in an emergency, and then you get there and it's like, oh, no, you're a crier? Dang it! I didn't know you were the crier.
Hey, so Cameron, what would you have done if you had been there?
Well, geez, that's easy for me to sit here and talk about.
You should have done what I did. I was 10 miles away sleeping in a hotel room.
I was even further away.
It was much safer.
I was here. Sleeping in my bedroom.
I'm being serious here. For those of you who carry smartphones, there is an app called Flashlight that does this.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
Bob just flashed me. For those of you at home that are following on how much flashing is going on, Bob's flashing with his what do you call it?
Smartphone.
Here it is. Okay.
What is it? The strobe light?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It acts as a flashlight. It's the flash on your camera.
Okay.
I got a newsflash for you. It's not acting as a flashlight. It is a flashlight right now.
It stays on.
Unless I call you and you forgot to turn the ringer off.
Okay, so here's my question.
Yes.
Would you carry a gun in that theater anyway, even though the policy was no guns?
You know, I don't carry a gun.
Okay.
I don't carry a gun.
Okay.
His whole body's a weapon.
He's
like Don Knotts.
Well,
he's Barney Fife.
Yeah.
My whole body's a weapon.
Yeah, if I put my hands in my pockets, they'll get me for concealing a deadly weapon. So I just kind of...
Gotcha.
No. my mindset and the training of that I put out is it's not one of those, oh, I'm in this situation, now what do I do? It's, I'm going into a theater, how do I need to be thinking before I get into the theater?
Yeah.
Where's the exit?
Yeah.
Because I feel most vulnerable when I'm with my family.
Sure.
So if I'm in the theater by myself, it's a different story. I can sit there and look for vulnerabilities and do my best to help out. But when I'm with my family, they're number one to me. So I have to look for a way to protect them first and then help out.
Well, and we never told people, but what's your background? We've got like a minute and a half.
We told them.
We didn't tell them, like, your background.
Okay.
Like your Navy stuff, did we? You didn't really go through all
that. And all the training you've done and who you've trained.
Where were you both? Bob?
You must have just rattled it off. Tell them again. That's why we're laughing about his whole body.
You did a little bit. But
we can get into it more in depth in the next
hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. You trained Army Rangers, Navy SEALs.
And SEER. What's the heck is SEER again? Well, I always get it wrong.
Survival.
Yeah.
Evasion, resistance, and escape.
Yeah.
I always escape before I resist.
And you basically have
survived, then I escape.
Yeah. That's the ultimate form of resistance is escape.
I know, but I always put my escape before my what? What's the first E?
Evasion.
I'm apparently not intending to evade anyone.
It's going to be a long 2 hours.
No, well, one's already over, so not as long as you think. And basically, you were teaching military personnel not to be captured, how to avoid capture.
Right, and if they are, how to resist interrogation, exploitation, torture.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All yeah, because resisting is good. Torture is bad.
It stands to reason that you know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
We want you to know his hands are in his pockets right now. The police are on their way. we'll be taking a 5-minute news break here shortly. And
top of the hour. Grab a cup of coffee. Come back. The next hour guarantees to be as funny, as informative, and spellbinding as the first hour.
Yeah, we'll still be screwing around. Bob?
And by the way,
take it away.
Again, happy second anniversary of this program here on AM 1460, KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Thank you very much.
The second hour of We the People coming up after Fox News at the top of the hour.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
hour two of our anniversary show, 2 years on the air, and as politically incorrect as ever, you are joining We the People Radio with Aaron Ryan, Bob Martin, and Elizabeth Woodward, and our special anniversary guest, as always, Cameron Gamble with Project Taken. We are at wethepeopleradio.us. Jump on board. We're chatting and streaming live, and everything you need to know about Cameron is on our webpage today. And
only Robert and I are chatting on the chat room. Yeah. So.
Hey, weren't we going to change our bumper music?
Yeah, we
never did do that.
You're going to play it later. We're going to let Cameron have an unbiased assessment of what he thinks of the new song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And our new format. Wackier than ever.
Yeah, he's like, well, when did you guys get like this?
That's right. We really like he was here a year ago.
Well, see, okay, before we had to do all, like, our own music and all that. You know, we had to figure all that out.
Yeah,
and see, then Bob showed up.
And Bob
and
does
Bob
everything.
And Bob comes up with all this nutty stuff. And, like,
and it's just super
kind of nutty
fun.
Anyway.
It's just gotten better. It's just awesome.
It is better.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I was thinking about...
Yes, you were.
Oh, yeah. Your eyeballs pointing to the ceiling, so I'm assuming that's your thought process.
Hey, look, we've been moving. We're not like Cameron. Moves himself.
Tell us about your move.
It's been evil. But, you know, it's awesome. Now all our... Well, okay. Our stuff was in three places for a while. Now it's only in two.
That's good. And
then they're only a mile apart.
I was going to say those two places
are storage units you're talking?
Yeah, we have a storage unit, and then the house has everything in the garage, which is fantastic. So we moved from like 2,300 square feet to 28 to 15. Oopsie.
Wow.
And then it's like my pivotal piece of my pivotal piece of furniture for the entire house, for the entire move, is... The desk.
And it won't fit.
Right? So I have them putting, like, all the bookshelves and, like, the file cabinets and all that in the driveway. That was the holding pattern. They had a hard time with that. Holding pattern wasn't a familiar term for them. And so it's like, let's get the desk in, and then everything goes around the desk. Oh, wait. The desk doesn't fit through the door. Yeah. Because the architect was, you know... artsy fartsy and all the walls are on angles. You know, these little angles, so you can't just like go in the door. The door has like a whoop once you go in. Mm-hmm. So anyway, no big giant.
They try to get fancy.
They
probably
desk.
Get bored building
Did you
store
say you
houses.
Got something toxic in your house?
No, well, you know, the house is like 4 years old, but the people never lived in it. They only stayed in it just a handful of times, which is great, you know, for me with allergies and stuff. But I think the rugs didn't get... I don't ever have rug. And so the rugs didn't get really broken in. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know.
It smells like
new house, but apparently I'm allergic to new house smell.
And
go figure.
And carpet chemicals.
I'm allergic to old houses. I'm allergic to new houses. I need to live outdoors.
And you, Cameron, you moved again.
Yes.
But you always find a farm.
Well, that's kind of our...
That's so he can sell the farm.
Yeah.
He has to live on a farm.
As long as he hasn't bought the farm.
Yeah, it's peace for us. It's like a resting place. I say that. I say peace. Not when I'm out of town and my wife has to run the farm.
Yeah.
We had a calf that was born. We've had our cow for...
Did you take the cow with you on the trip?
No, we left her here in Cottonwood.
Okay.
And so she had a calf a couple weeks ago, and I was out of town, and the calf died.
Oh,
so my wife's been home dealing with that. Yeah, it's been tough.
That sucks.
So the kids were all excited, and
then not so much.
The balloon pop. Yeah,
of course that. I mean,
pretty.
You know me, mysterious, but that does sort of teach him some stuff, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, when you live on a farm,
and you know me, the derailer.
they get accustomed to. Jen and I were talking about last night. It's not that our kids are numb to death, but they just deal with it better.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the first time.
Because they know it's a part of life.
Yeah, and they lost a chicken. My son lost a chicken, and it was the end of the world.
Oh.
And now we're on chicken 27.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's
the process.
At the end of the day, it's a chicken.
They still miss.
They're
still
getting the hang of that.
Yeah. Somewhat.
It's kind of like when we had sheep and they got sick. Like, one of them was out there like, coughing. You're like, I don't know, sheep don't cough. So we call the vet. The vet goes, yeah, but it's a sheep.
Yeah.
And they spend their whole life looking for a way to die. So, we don't work on sheep.
And, you know, like when my...
What?
When I
You're
lost,
a vet.
When I lost my first dog, I cried for 3 days straight.
I still cry when I think about my first dog.
I called everybody I knew to make sure that nobody had any extra pictures of my dog that I didn't know about. I mean, I was, like, whacked out. Then a couple of years later, my other little guy died. You remember that?
And now your heart is hardened.
And, well, I didn't cry. I mean, I was sad, and I still miss him.
Go ahead.
And,
do it now.
No, I'm not. But I didn't cry. It's weird. You do transition. So
I don't think I'm going to transition on the dog thing.
We still cry. Just we don't cry for as many days.
Yeah. Yeah.
I cried. You can have the ceremony around the toilet and flush the goldfish and get over it pretty quickly after lunch.
We don't do fish.
The big ocean burial there.
We just eat fish.
I just remember I read somebody I knew, and they were doing that. You know, they're standing around the toilet, and the goldfish is going down, and they're like, Mommy, is that where I'm going to go when I die? Because it was like the fourth or fifth fish. Oh. I remember she called me. I'm like, you've probably set a bad precedent.
Yeah. You might want to stop that now. Find another place to bury him.
Exactly. How did we get on this anyway? Where are we going?
So Cameron lives on a farm.
Okay, there. That's where it all started. So,
blame Cameron.
So you're going to have. So you used to be a project taken. You used to charge for your workshops, like the one that Aaron and I did. But
yes.
Now you are nonprofit. So what you do is at no charge. So tell us what Project Taken looks like now and what you plan for the near future.
Yeah, at the end of the year, we are kind of. Since our Kansas City trip, like I said, it was tough. It was a really difficult trip. And so we are just kind of in a season of rest right now. But towards the end of the year, probably in December, which will be just about a year from the time you guys went through. I can't remember when you went through. But anyways.
Yeah, about a year ago.
We're going to do another one here in Reading.
Okay.
And yeah, the workshops are free now. And the way it's set up, the way Project Taken is set up is I work my tail off.
Yeah.
And then, to support, provide for my family, and then we also provide for putting these things on, have a lot of volunteer help when we go on the road, and then, but yeah, it's free because I don't like putting a price tag on people's life.
Sure.
How do you do that?
Sure.
So.
And you tend to get a lot of support when it's a nonprofit.
Yeah.
I mean, you do.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you have people who sponsor the training. And I'm sure you have people who donate.
Yes.
Who come anyway.
Yeah, you know. We've been up to Portland quite a bit this year, putting on trainings up there. And we go up there. We typically stay with a hosting family. And we'll do the trainings inside of a church. And people can give straight to Project Taken right there. But it's not required.
Right.
So... I guess you could say we're just really doing this thing by faith and going out and saying, this is what we're doing. If you want to support us, you can. And if you don't, I'm still going to train you.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And it's in real life, it's an all-day deal. Because what were we, 10 to 5?
10 to 5. Yeah. And, you know, some of them, I mean, in Portland, we've been doing two-day seminars up there.
Oh, no
nice.
Kidding.
It's a Friday night, all-day Saturday.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's just to get as many people involved as we can. And I don't have to rush the material. Because there's a lot of material.
Mm-hmm.
As you know,
mm-hmm.
I just get to really sit down and talk through every aspect of it and answer a lot of questions and snuff the dumber questions that, because there are stupid questions. Yeah. People have those.
I've told that story so many times.
I thought there were no stupid questions.
Not in your group.
No, that's only in school.
Okay.
But that's when everybody gets a trophy, too.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
You know,
for participating.
Take that for what it's worth.
No, I said that. There are no stupid questions except in the chat room.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I should probably check that. Oh, no, nothing's happened.
Where are the chatters this morning? Are we having computer issues?
It's pretty funny, actually. Robert in the chat room just wrote, in the chat room, it's Project Vacant.
Right. If it's just the four of us, I'll be okay.
People are like laying in bed, just listening.
Yeah.
There's somebody out there going, I'm trying to log in. We're sorry. Okay. You know what I was thinking here? I was mulling over that whole thing with the police department.
Yes.
We need to talk about the police department. Because it isn't just private citizens who wind up in these situations. Now, especially in California with AB
109,
we've got, you know, massive releases of prisoners and all this stuff coming out. So the landscape is changing.
And you've probably noticed like
the safety
huge
zone.
Spike in crime. Carjackings.
Yeah.
And
well, that's,
you know,
all he looks at, so he probably hasn't noticed a spike in anything.
You know me, cup of coffee, crime reports, Bible.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. The cup
clean
of coffee's a little harder than usual.
Clean my gun.
Get your hands out of your pockets. Hey, Bob, should we take a little break here?
We can do that.
I'd like to watch Bob. Like, he's over there, like, writing on a piece of paper. He's all mellow and everything. But take a break. He's all... springs into action.
Yeah, let's talk
I'm
about...
I'm doing important radio producer type stuff.
Oh,
because
you are
got
important.
All the buttons over there.
We know how important you are.
Being the highly trained broadcast professional in the room here.
Oh,
yeah, because
yes.
It's not us. It's definitely not us.
Well, you're... Like
our
I
lips
was,
work.
Like I was saying to one of you off the air a while ago, you really have come a long way, and that's something we should reflect on the second anniversary of this program. You too are becoming highly trained broadcast professionals.
I'm reflecting right now. Can you see it?
Her eyeballs are pointing.
It looks like what I'm trying to remember. What I'm trying to say. Very, very similar.
So when we come back, we'll talk about local crime, maybe 109.
Yeah, and what Cameron can do for the local police department. Da, 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 da. All right, you're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
What you doing tonight? I wish I could be a fly on your wall. Are you really alone? Who's stealing your dreams? Why can't I breathe you into my life? Who would it take to make you see that I'm alive? If I was invisible, then I could just watch you in your room. If I was invincible, I'd make you mine tonight. If hearts were unbreakable, then I could just tell you where I stand.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Song out there about grabbing women?
Okay, except for this one. All right. Are there some people who can't be trafficked? Oh. Here's a picture.
Does it help to be ugly?
Oh my.
Could you traffic that?
Let me see. What is it? It's a
picture. Like, I'm like Greg.
Okay, let me see.
I'm like Greg Fokker. Can you traffic that?
Oh my God.
Highly unlikely. Found
you took that?
Yep, at the grocery store.
Is that a man?
No, it's a lady.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm. Ew.
Exactly.
Was it Walmart, was it?
No, it wasn't, but it should be on the
Walmart-esque picture.
You know how the people of Walmart website.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought maybe Cameron knew her because she has kind of a prison haircut.
No, I don't hang out in prisons.
The Rascal was a dead giveaway, though.
Hey, so that last song, that Clay Aiken song, what was the, if I could be invisible, I could watch you in your room.
Yeah.
What is it with some of this music?
I don't know.
So bizarre.
Is it supposed to be romantic or something?
Ah, it's desperation.
Jeez. Yeah,
they're mostly breakup songs.
Yeah.
It's the not country music version of country music.
Yes. Post-breakup songs.
Okay, like, I'm totally creeped out by music now.
Yeah.
All of it?
A lot of it. all the
here.
Music that Bob
there.
Plays.
Just
slapped her straight.
Just when I come here, though, it seems like.
No, he plays some pretty... He played a creepy Elizabeth song when I was gone.
Oh, that was totally scary. We were interviewing this lady... Well, me and Bob. We were interviewing this lady named Elizabeth, right? She's quiet. She's got this little teen voice. She's from Canada, you know. She's a lovely lady. Yeah. He plays this, Elizabeth, I want to come to your house. I want to hang out with you. You're so beautiful. Your skin is lovely. It was like...
That was not my intent.
Not your finest hour, Bob.
It was super quiet on the other end. I'm all,
it's a famous.
Elizabeth? Are you there?
It's a famous song by the Statler Brothers called Elizabeth.
I know the song.
But we still like to give you a hard time for it because it's funny.
Who are the Statler Brothers?
Exactly.
One of the all-time country quartets.
Yeah. I know. It was just funny.
They still have those?
It's still funny. It'll always be funny.
Yeah, she did get a little creeped out.
She's like,
it was just to introduce her to the program.
And that you did, Bob,
It's going to get better. Yeah, okay. That was pretty funny. And we were talking about eco-fascists, too. Talk about like, whoa.
So let's segue into Cameron Gamble and local crime.
Cool.
And what the police department can do with your help. That was a forced segue. Somebody has to...
God's sake, somebody's got to be the parents around here.
Somebody's got to be the voice of reason.
And it's always me.
No, not the voice of... Oh, it's Sound of Reason that's on the Redding.com blog, so we don't want to be.
No.
Yeah, sorry, you can be the voice of reason.
Okay. Cameron?
Okay.
Breaking anytime.
Well, local law enforcement, yeah, that's it would make sense, since I live here, that I could help out with the local law enforcement. And we wanted to talk about this, you know, the second hour, about some of my background a little bit more in detail. One of the things I was able to do over the years and teach the Navy SEALs is how to collect intelligence on the battlefield. And so what I did is I took that program and built one that looks like it for local law enforcement, or not local, but just law enforcement in general, how to run investigations. And from beginning to end, that program looks kind of what I did in a month and a half out in Kansas City. It's how do we take one piece of information and turn it into an entire case. And so I use role players in that as well. So I go into the classroom, teach these guys what exploitation looks like without torture, without coercive measures. How do we extract useful, reliable, actionable intelligence with the least amount of effort and in the least amount of time? Bring in role players and run these investigators through interviews and make them take the skills I just taught them and apply it to real cases. We build real cases all around local crimes, and so it really sharpens these investigators. So that's a course that I offer that would be a huge benefit to the local law enforcement here.
Yeah, and I know that our current police chief has some pretty good military background. I don't know that it's as detailed as yours, but he's got a military background.
He moved
background.
Here from Stockton, so yeah. I'm sure he has a fairly decent background in crime.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's something we could do. But also the flip side of it is the whole how to deal with a kidnapping situation.
Right.
And what helps is such a benefit to people who are involved in that, whether it's a hostage crisis situation, is to understand both sides of it. Not just how do I negotiate with these bad guys, but it's also what are my victims going through, what are their victims going through, and to understand exploitation, what's happening to them, is going to help local law enforcement better be able to negotiate in those kind of situations. So okay. We have a lot we could offer here to Chief Paletti.
So what's the horizon look like with AB 109 from your perspective?
Bleak.
Yeah. It looks like the songs we've been playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, breakup songs.
Yeah, for sure we're going to see an increase in crime.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it's going to be.
Do you think people are becoming more aware when every day that they read the newspaper there's three or four crimes that were committed? Do you think they're waking up?
No.
Really?
No, I don't think
based
they're waking
up. Based on what?
Based on the fact that most of them will read it and get discouraged but not do anything about it.
Yeah. Ah, there you go.
Okay, talk about simple stuff. I mean, because we did this last time. We did a little bit of things you can do to help yourself. 101, because the first thing I was thinking of was the texting in parking lots. You know, I saw somebody walking toward their car texting, and I thought, you know what? You're a sitting duck.
Yeah, because it's all about not being aware of your surroundings.
Yeah, situational awareness is key to it all. That's like the thing that makes it tick. Whether you're in captivity or out of captivity, situational awareness, it's actively engaging your mind in your surroundings. And thinking about a situation before you go into it. And people get complacent, and they say, well, every Thursday I go to Trader Joe's, and then right after that I go to Target, and I know what I want, I have to go get it. I'm texting on the way in, I'm not paying attention, and they just miss all of these signs around them that are saying, hey, something's not right, hey, something's up. And bringing it down to a practical level, even with your children, it's all based on your senses. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you smelling? What are you tasting? Hopefully you don't. You know, walking through Target parking lot with your tongue on the asphalt, but but using
but that is a good visual.
We
You're
can
starting
only
to get the hang of this.
Yeah. So it's identifying what is ordinary in this situation. So if I know what's ordinary, unordinary stands out. If I'm engaged with my mind, and the moment I see five police cars pull up into a parking lot, that's not ordinary.
Yeah, go the other way.
Right. Right. So, and that's what you determine. Do I go the other way or do I engage with this? So it's all based on situational awareness. The foundation to that are your senses, using your senses and identifying what's ordinary and what's not.
Same too with the home. You know, at home, you look around, neighbors get a little bit, you know, everybody gets a little bit lazy, I guess, about leaving windows unlocked and things like that.
Yeah, and that's where you can really apply it in your own home and really start to pick up on situational awareness is knowing your home, knowing it well. Every night, going and touching every one of your locks, touching all of your windows, touching your children. That's using your touch, your senses, mm-hmm. to feel more secure and be more aware of what's going on. And then knowing the noises that your house makes in the middle of the night. That's
sure.
a big one.
Sure. Hey, that is a big one.
Yeah. Because, I mean, especially around here, there's a lot of older houses that aren't on a concrete foundation, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and they creak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so is that somebody walking through your house?
Right.
Or is that your house just, you know,
walking itself?
Blowing off the heat of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, because our old house used to, about 10 o'clock, there'd be like a big time, you know, you'd hear it in the wall, this big knock. It was the weirdest thing. It happened every single night.
Well, you know what
there
we
was
used
sort
to
sort of
hear.
A transition between the heat and the cold.
Yeah.
We used to have a digger pine that hung over our house, and these pine cones would fall and hit the deck.
Oh.
But before they hit the deck, they hit the metal awnings that were over the windows. And it wasn't all the time. So whenever it happened, it scared the crap out of us.
Worked in a little crap in the second hour, didn't you? Nice
I did.
Job.
Thank you very much. So, and it took us a while to figure out that there were pine cones hitting the metal awnings before they hit the deck.
But once you become familiar with it, yeah. then, you know, that's ordinary in your situation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That
and
is.
Then and dogs. What about dogs?
Dogs are great if they work.
Yeah.
Unlike ours who are asleep in the car right now.
Yeah, just get battery operated ones.
No, animals are wonderful. I mean, where we live, it is rural. Mm-hmm. So we'll crack our window at night because we have animals.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have the threat of other animals eating our animals.
Right.
So this is just a couple weeks ago. My wife heard it first. She goes, Cameron, someone's in the house.
What?
So I sit up in bed and I hear this thump, 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 thump. And it sounded like someone in the house, but our window was cracked. And we realized it was our horse running up and down the field at night.
Oh, wow.
So, oh, that's weird.
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
Well, something was obviously, you know.
Okay. Upsetting.
Yeah. But again, that's unordinary.
Okay.
And we listen to those things and then we go and engage with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And then how do you set up? I think I saw on the webpage October 29th is a class.
No.
I what was not. That? Hold know. On. Are we advertising well, something you're not doing?
Something, okay.
Oh, yeah, next training is October 29th.
Interesting.
Was that maybe from last year?
I don't know.
Robert, take that off the website. It's a lie.
What we can do, though, is you guys
probably
can...
Probably was last year.
Probably was last year. Just reproduce the page.
I'll let you know when the class is going to be, and you guys can advertise it.
Hey, and so...
call us. We won't call you.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
We talked before about, you know, you have your average family, two or three kids, and they get up every day, and they go to their jobs. They take their kids to school, and as is the case with most people, they have a very designated routine.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people out there that have nothing better to do than to watch an object of their desire and mm-hmm. get their routine down.
Right.
And you said that even a mother and her daughter could be shopping at the mall and somebody spots them and says, yeah, I think I want to find out more about them and can literally follow them home, but most people would never know that they'd been spotted and followed all the way to their house.
Right, and it's based on, again, I'm going to go shopping with my daughter, and I know what we want, and I know how we do this, and so we become complacent with it, and we're not paying attention to our surroundings, and we don't recognize that, hey, that same guy or girl, we've seen him twice now at both the stores we've been to. So that's the kind of, and I'm not saying watch every person, but I'm a people watcher, so it's easier for me to do that. But that's unordinary. When you start to see the same people, especially, I don't think I've ever run into a person I know in Reading. It's real.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, but...
That's because you don't call them back.
Maybe.
You keep changing your phone number and moving away.
Okay. He's dumbfounded.
He just called me out on the rug, just like that.
And it's in front of everybody.
It's so much more fun when it's actually on the radio.
No.
I've really grown to like that.
Yeah, there's no take-backs when it's live. Huh?
I know. That's what's fun about it. Bob's got a button over there we've never tried, but...
Well, you could, Aaron.
We're waiting for the big...
I've never had to use it on this show. I've had to use it on other shows.
You all you have to do is let that word fly.
Really?
Oh. Wow. So how fast do you go for it? Are you like a game show contestant? Bam! Hit the button?
Basically, yeah, because we're on a 7-second delay, and you don't have a lot of time
to bleep something.
Seven
exactly.
seconds is not an eternity, so you basically got 6 seconds to hit the button or it goes out over the air.
Okay. But you do have fairly long arms and you can't reach it from there. They should make like a little bit more of a challenge. You should have to crawl on the floor and get under the desk or something like that. That'd be fun. Then we could say stuff. Okay. We could just watch you spring into action. I'd like that.
Not with my knees.
The only one who wins is Cameron on that one.
Well, I'm not offended. I'm not offended.
No. So we're going to take a break?
We're going to take a break.
I don't know. I was waiting for Bob to tell us.
Oh, I was holding up the cards a while ago. You were busy chatting, I think.
Segwaying into God knows where. Do you know God?
The nap.
Where she went?
The nap I'm not getting today.
But I'm glad, I'm glad we've got more people in the chat room this hour than last hour.
Yep. Like added two more.
Five instead of four. Oh, we got six.
Okay, so take a quick break. We'll be back.
You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Jesus is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine. But lately something's changed. It ain't hard to define. Yes, he's got himself a girl and I want to make her mine. And she's watching him with those eyes. And she's loving him with that body, I just know it. And he's holding her in his arms late, late at night. You know I wish that I had Jesse's girl. I wish that I had Jesse's girl. Where can I find a woman like that?
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
We are talking with Cameron Gamble of Project Taken. Learn how to be safe in your current economic and crime-ridden reality with the California AB 109.
Yeah.
Right. By the way, in fairness to these artists, I just want to point out what we were talking about earlier. No, I want to.
Boy, there's a lot of stalker songs, though.
I want to point out that some of these I'm taking the lyrics out of context and turning them into stalker songs.
Yeah. So you are a true media mogul.
I don't think Frank Sinatra was ever accused of doing stalker songs.
There were many things.
But
he was
you're the one
of.
That called it the first stalker song in the 1950s. You said it.
I did.
Bob, do not defend these men.
Do not.
Wow.
We need some girl stalker songs.
So you were.
Girls don't sing about stalkers. Is that
yes, they do.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
But Cameron was saying that a lot of these songs are breakup songs. And that's kind of, where all the weird lyrics
breakup
come
or
from.
Post-breakup, yes.
76% of all stalkers are people you know.
Oh.
Mm. Get out.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, nice statistic. Yeah. Thanks. Mm-hmm. So you followed somebody locally.
I do.
Tell
that.
Us about
I do that.
That
quite often.
Tell us about that.
And do you only follow people that are in your class? Or are you like a, what are you Long Island medium where you follow them? You go, hey, I speak to the dead. I know what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm not out for hire in terms of stalking.
You are too.
Maybe. No, before every class.
Everybody's got a price.
Before every class, I will, I'll set it up. Find someone that's vulnerable on Facebook, mm-hmm. and then do my best to try to stalk that person or multiple people. And
okay, so tell us the story you were telling us off air.
Yeah, so last class had a gentleman, and it's just to show them their vulnerability, not mm-hmm. just for them, but also their family when they're putting everything out on the internet. So
yeah.
Find his Facebook is completely wide open. Find all of his family that's listed. Find his sister. Go to her Facebook, and it's wide open, and she lists where she works. And so I called the work on the phone, hoping to ask if she was there, and she answers the phone. So I proceed to her work, which was a shopping store here in Reading.
Okay.
And just watch her for about 30 minutes just to see how she engages with people, to see her level of awareness. And the majority of the time, her head was down. She never really, with her eyes, engaged with the customers, but would have conversations with them. So her awareness was low. So then I buy a pair of sunglasses, and as I go through, I'm holding my phone, which is why I did it, because I knew she wasn't paying attention, I could get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm holding my phone in front of me, recording her, and as I go through...
And how many people have their phones in front of them looking at their text messages
sure.
all the time? That does not look suspicious anymore.
Right, it doesn't. But I was trying to be obvious.
Mm-hmm.
That was the point of it. And so through it, I'm just being Mr. Nice Guy, and I said, busy day, and she says, yeah, but it helps, helps the night go by faster. And I said, well, what time do you get off? And she says, oh, 10.
Well, I'll be waiting for you.
Right. So now, because in the class, what was told was, based on the fact that I was a nice guy, she felt compelled to share her information with me.
Wow. Yeah. How many women do that? Do women have this weird idea? Because girls are brought up to be nice and to play nice. And how many women would hand over their private information just because someone's nice and wants it?
I would say that women are more closed than men.
Really?
Really?
So, yeah.
Men are more blabbery?
Oh, definitely. Especially younger men.
Really?
If I send a young, cute girl through the line and she's going to befriend this guy, he's going to tell her everything.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's...
That makes sense.
People are an open book nowadays.
Mm-hmm. And they really are.
And people feel compelled to share their stuff.
It's like the young lady that we talked to the last time you were on the air. Mm-hmm. She was in the class that we were in, and you literally had somebody follow her to the point where they were sitting right next to her in the class that we took, and she didn't know it. But she was 21, and she told us on air, she said, "My generation has no boundaries."
None. No, we feel compelled to share information, and it's because you look at the social media. If we are not giving a status update every 5 minutes, something's up.
It's weird. I go on Facebook, but I don't tell anything.
Right.
And the things that people tell, it just blows.
Go stalker, Cameron.
My mind.
Oh, is he on the phone?
He is on the phone.
Oh, Music by Robert is on the phone.
It's not. You thought it was our webmaster, but no, it's Music by Robert.
Not webmaster by Robert. It's famous, Music by Robert.
Famous for being on the Don and Judy show. Good morning, Robert.
Well, hi. How you guys doing?
You on your way to the studio?
Yes, I am. How are you ladies doing?
See, did you see him just tell us where he is right now?
In your car.
Anyway, I've got a very good tip for you guys as far as keeping your family safe. I know almost everybody's got a GPS as well as I do. What you need to do is when you set it for home, don't set it to your home address. Like mine, I set it to the store, which is about 2 miles or so from me.
That's good information. We're writing that down.
Huh?
I said that's good information. We're writing that down. Music by Robert. Check his GPS. He lives within 2 miles of his home.
Yeah, because the reason why when I say that, like if you're at a movie or if you're at a baseball game or something and they break into your car, especially if you've got your
garage door opener.
Door opener there too, they're gonna know you're gonna be there for a while. They'll go right straight to your house, use your door opener, and just have at it while you guys are still there, you know.
Very good. That's a good one. Yeah, I just turned the GPS thing off.
So, I mean, like I use my GPS a lot because I go to Tallahassee, and then I always set it to go home, you know. I let you know how to get back. So always set it to some place that's far enough away from your house that they won't know.
That's a good idea. Right on.
All right.
Thanks, Robert. See you soon.
See you guys in a little bit. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Robert.
So what do you think about that?
I always set it to Aaron's house.
I'm going to set mine to your house now. I don't know. I know how this game is played.
Now you've done it, Bob.
No, Robert's speaking from a lot of crimes that were taking place at stadiums. People would go to a football game, and so they're occupied for at least 3 hours. And so folks were walking around looking in cars, and if they saw a garage door opener and a GPS, they'd break into that car. And they'd hit home on the GPS. And
that's
what he's talking
and
about.
And grab the garage door.
And they know they have at least 3 hours.
No kidding.
Or more because their car's not there.
Wow. Yeah. And you know,
just a moment of silence for that.
I mean, before they had GPS coordinators in cars, and you know, it was such a big deal. You know, we always managed to find our way home. People
Except
have gotten so caught up in technology, mm-hmm. and because something new comes on the market, they have to have it. And it's kind of we've
Are
done
you a
ourselves.
Gadget hater?
I'm not a gadget hater, but I don't have to have every little thing that comes out on the market. I just don't. I think that these things
You're a gadget hater. I can see it.
These things have complicated life.
As
in a way.
Yeah, as technology advances, so must we. We have to get smart with it as well, because others are.
Yeah,
they'll
that's
use it
true.
Against us.
Good
so.
Point.
Well, like people who don't know that when you buy a garage door opener, they're mostly all set to the same code.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, you take that remote, you buy a remote Chamberlain opener, and you walk down the street, you're going to get somebody's garage to come open.
You know, in Reading, and most... suburban areas, you don't need to look for a garage door opener. People just leave their garage open.
Oh, they do.
Yeah,
they
it drives
do.
Me crazy.
Yeah,
it's funny,
I know.
I've been noticing people have been leaving their doors shut more.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't really seen much open, and it's what maybe I thought about it. I thought, boy, it used to be you opened your garage door in the morning, and then you didn't shut it until it was dark.
Right.
You know, after the last time you were... Last time you were on our show, we talked a lot about reconnaissance and stalking people and following them. Mm-hmm. And I actually did my own little personal reconnaissance on a family member because I wanted to test it. And I had a young family member who goes to a school. And this child was instructed to stay at the school until she was picked up by a parent. And so one day I drove and parked across the street from the school to make sure to see if that's really what was taking place. And this young child walked across the street instead of staying at the school. And there was a flatbed truck parked in the parking lot facing a really busy street with a lot of creepy people walking by, and she was dancing on it. And she was there by herself for 30 minutes waiting for her parent to pick her up. She didn't know I was behind her. I was behind her in my car. She knows me. She knows my car. I wasn't far from her. If she turned around at all, if she'd paid any attention, she would have seen her aunt there. Mm-hmm. And she never saw me.
Right.
Wow. So I immediately told her parents, and in fact, I had a conversation with her recently, and I said, you know that I spied on you that day. And she goes, yeah, I heard about that. And I said, I'm the one that told on you. And she goes, yeah, I know. And I said, I'm sorry, but I had to. And she goes, no, you were right to do that.
How old is she?
Doesn't matter. Too much information.
No, but I mean, is she like elementary? She's elementary school.
A little older than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm wondering,
yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
Who's leaving a little kid at school?
Yeah.
I was going to get the parents. See, I'm,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
I was moving up the food chain.
Well, that's where it starts.
But see, this is a child who had instructions by the parent to do a certain thing. And as kids do, they think, oh, I'll be okay. And they go do something different. And I watched her do it. And the risk that she was at. I mean, when I explained to her parents what I had done and what I had seen, it scared them. It scared the crap out of them.
Was she like... off of the school property?
Mm-hmm,
or?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Because her friends were going over there.
You need to get an ice cream truck.
Yeah.
You need to just troll the neighborhood in the ice cream truck.
Yeah.
See how many kids you can bust.
Yeah, you know, and I knew that.
Cameron, that's a good job for
you. Yeah, I had a, you know, kind of had suspicions that she was doing that because that's where all her friends would go to wait for their parents. And she wanted to be with her friends. But the thing is, her friend's parents came and picked them up like super quick, and she was there by herself. And she thought this flatbed truck was a great place to dance. She thought that was fun. Didn't realize that the whole world was watching her, and she was by herself.
You know, there's a lot of places that we can go with this. To me, it starts with the parents, and it also starts with the schools. Mm-hmm. And the local school systems here desperately need a shift or an upgrade, I guess you could say, in their security protocol for how they release children, how they take, you know. I just recently was picking up my son from somewhere, and I was talking to one of his little friends in the class, and the teacher says, oh, are you going to take him too? And I looked at him and went, no, probably his parents would. Yeah, so we need a serious upgrade.
Wow.
in our how we do business in terms of securing children.
It's not just about teaching them, it's about keeping them safe.
Right. Yeah.
So do you let your kids like ride their bike to the park if you lived close enough? You know? I mean, do kids get to do that anymore?
No.
Is that just off the table now?
Yeah.
He's looking at us like we're nuts. Are you kidding? You have to ask.
Just checking.
It probably varies from school to school or individual to individual as far as the post school duty. But my wife could tell you a lot of stories about this. But it's been her experience, and she has taught in several different schools around the area, both public and private. And the schools are pretty good now about keeping an eye on the children after school to make sure they get picked up. They have shifts for that sort of thing, and like Cameron says, the security could stand to be upgraded, but the schools are aware of this. That's why I asked you. I was surprised that your family member was able to be alone for 30 minutes without anybody from the school noticing.
Well, I watched the whole thing from the time she stepped outside the school doors. I mean, I was there ready. I wanted to see for myself. And,
But my wife watches those kids like a hawk.
Yeah, but they don't all. And
no.
Some of the bigger schools that have just big student populations, there's just no way there's enough adult supervision to watch all these kids as they stream out of the school when the bell rings.
How big of a target is that, Cameron?
It's massive. And so I have a fix for it, though. So let's do what we can to upgrade the security of the school, but also let's train the kids.
Yeah,
and let's train the parents.
That'd be a lot easier.
My son, my 9-year-old, this last project taking class that we did, it was his first one that he got to attend. Now he lives and breathes and eats it with me all the time, but he got to see a completely different side of it. Even him being trained, I'm not going to let my son go ride to the park on his bike by himself, even though he could get out of handcuffs and rope and chains and all that stuff. I'm still not going to take that risk.
No, you don't.
So my point
is... he'd be like that O. Henry story about Red Chief. You know, he'd be the kid they kidnap, and then the kidnappers pay the parents to take him back. He makes their life a living hell. Yeah.
And on that note, time for a break. We just got flashed again by Bob.
Bobby Flasher. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
You're going to get me in trouble, Elizabeth.
That's why we come here.
Now that the school was...
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
People think I'm crazy, they worry all the time. You paid attention, you'd be worried too. You better pay attention, all this world we love so much might just kill you. I could be wrong now, but I don't think so, because there's a jungle out there.
And this is what makes Bob Martin amazing.
Wasn't it not the flashlight?
Wasn't that from Toy Story?
No, that's the theme from Monk.
Oh, yeah.
Randy Newman's It's a Jungle Out There.
I think it's on Randy Newman.
Toy Story, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It could be.
Oh, also, not two. Toy Story also.
You can say two.
T-O-O.
You know what? We're not politically correct, and we can break grammar rules.
Okay. Absolutely. We don't care.
The first Toy Story?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
It all goes back to that. Okay, so you've helped friends, too. I forgot about that story. You told me once on the phone
that you had some friend who was like, oh, no, I'm perfectly safe. I don't have any security issues. I'm good to go. And didn't you, break into his house while you were on the phone with him? You're all, hey, turn around.
No, I did it.
I like my version better. Feel free to take it as your own.
No, what I will do is I'll go and do a threat matrix on either a ministry or a house or a school or whatever. And this was here in Reading, a friend of mine. I did a threat matrix on his house because he travels quite a bit. And so for the most part, I would say 99% of his house is secure.
He's got a security system. He has locks on all of his windows, locks for his children. But I found the 1%.
And what was that?
I can't tell you.
Okay.
We don't know who he is.
Well, the 1%.
There's some knucklehead banging our window. I think we know him. It's Carl.
Hi, Carl. The owner of the station is spying on us. Ooh, perfect timing.
He can't stand it. The music drew him in.
Okay, what's the 1%?
Well, the 1% was, what I'll do is I'll get on the inside and assess their security system, and then get on the outside and try to exploit it.
Okay.
So I just found a loophole through his attic space via the garage to get bypass all the security and get in his house.
Oh, wow.
So you were up in his attic?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you just, when he was coming down the hallway, did you just, hang your head out the access and go, hello?
Well, what I said is, set the alarm, and I'll do my best to get in without triggering it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was standing in his living room a couple minutes later.
Okay. Wow.
So then that's great. And then we get to fix that. And now his house is even, it's 100% secure.
What is the most common weakness that most people have in securing their homes?
Not knowing their homes.
I was going to say leaving them.
Yeah. Not knowing their homes. And when I say not knowing their homes, I mean not knowing, is that door or window locked or not? And if it, and how do I respond if someone does come in? They don't know those things.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's funny, too, because growing up, I realized, I'm really old. And so, it was different.
Anytime you talk about when I was a child.
Yes, when I was a child. I did walk to school in the snow.
So did I, actually.
But, you know, you left the windows open on the back of the house. You could leave the back screen door open, but you locked the front door.
Right, of course, yes.
Because nobody would ever go around to the backyard.
I look back on that, I'm all, logic. Kind of a faulty.
Logic or lack thereof.
Yeah, kind of a faulty system there.
Well, the irony of this whole thing is I did a threat matrix on his house, and then just about a month ago, this was several months ago, but a month ago, his house was broken into. The people waited till they left in the morning at 7, and went right in the house and stole thousands of dollars worth of jewelry.
Yikes.
So then the funny thing is, the neighborhood watch now is all in a hissy. All our houses aren't secure. And so I threw out an email that said, hey, I'll come and do threat matrix for you guys. Not one response.
Oh,
get
wow.
out!
No, so people are... there has to be a shift from I know there's a problem to let's fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We have to get people in that mindset.
What does it take to get them in that mindset?
Of someone to break into your house.
And then, of course, that's after the fact.
Right.
Yeah, and hopefully you're not home and you're not...
Or enough people to give testimonies to say, this saved my life.
So
this
people are
this.
Reactive. Oh,
yeah, that's
most people are reactive, not proactive.
Right. And, you know... The individual that I did the threat matrix on his house, they travel all over the world rescuing girls from sex trafficking. And he and his wife came into my course. And while they were over in Cambodia, the training kicked in and it actually saved their life. And now that testimony goes out and other people go, I want that because I have to go to the same place. So that's the shift as well. But it's just awareness, people knowing about it and being able to respond to it and pick up the phone call.
You know, my husband and I are obsessed with making sure everything is locked up, almost to the point where we're on top of each other, both checking the same doors and windows over and over. It's like, honey, I already checked
that. I can see you guys. You're like puppies.
Can you see it?
Tumbling through the house.
Yeah. But that's a good thing because when only one person is doing it, it makes it difficult. Mm-hmm. If you're married, you have to be on the same sheet of music as the other person.
Yeah, we're both paranoid, so it works out great.
No. There's a difference between being paranoid and being prepared.
Yeah.
You guys are prepared.
Oh, yeah.
Paranoia helps a little bit.
But at the end of the day, I mean...
And my preparedness is
unless you have that house, like, have you ever gotten that email about that house that in the daytime it's wide open, it's all glass?
I've seen that. That's
and
amazing.
And at night the walls come up and all
it's
that.
Like, and then it's like
a fort.
It's a steel box.
Yeah.
In Reading.
No. It's
cool, though.
It comes through, like, on email every now and then.
Okay.
People are, ultimate security.
It's a cool house.
It shifts. The house literally shifts. It looks like the convention center.
Yeah.
Wow.
At night, with less windows, actually.
Like none.
We'll all be taking out a second mortgage to do that.
Yeah, it's really cool, actually.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the rest of us have regular windows in our house. So, I mean, how hard is that to get in?
I don't think there's any house, especially in this area, that you can't get into.
Mm-hmm.
You can. But we put up barriers to prevent.
Sure.
You know, and I know people that they have alarms and so on and so forth. But when you go into their house, they still leave everything out. All of their mail is, like, scattered across the kitchen table. They leave the person, the cell phone plugged in somewhere. We put everything away in addition to locking the house.
Yeah, sterilizing is good.
Yeah, we do it all the time.
Yeah.
To the point where we hide things and can't find them.
Well, it's like your vehicle. If you walk by a vehicle and you see a laptop and a cell phone sitting in it, I'm more prone to getting that if I'm a bad guy versus one that doesn't have it in
it. And it doesn't matter
keys.
That you...
How often do you see keys in someone's cup holder?
Yes.
It's like, hello. Take me, please. Hey, so we're going to go out with our theme song, eh?
I'm guessing that we're done here, huh?
We are, Cameron. It has been super spectacular.
Thank so you, glad ladies. To know that you're still alive and well.
Yes.
And a year from now, we'll still be goofing off.
You're on my inner circle.
A really lot. Oh, sure.
Yeah. Well, now that you've had me back.
That's it.
Yeah,
I'm texting him. I'm texting him on a more regular basis. We let him get away last time. Bob, any program notes for us?
Hey, we didn't even get to $5 a gallon gas today.
Oh, well, that's no secret, I hope.
And altitude sickness didn't make the president do a crappy job. He's just a rotten debater, and Mitt Romney's smarter.
Well, I kept thinking that his teleprompter was on the floor because he looked down so much.
Oh.
Ouch.
All right, on that note, Don and Judy, you're next. Happy second anniversary, we the people. Aaron, Elizabeth, Cameron, thank you. And you're listening to KCNR Shasta Reading, the home of Free Fire Radio. We do about that.